Let's see, you're India. And in the first week of July, you thought it'd be cute to meet with Russia and India as part of Russia and China as part of BRICS to further plot in a very public meeting to destroy America's currency. And you didn't even bother to say thank you when we moved our Apple phone production, all of it, from China, where they were stealing our tech, to India. When we took half the engineers you have off your hands. You thought it'd be cute to hang out with Russia and China, plot to overthrow our currency to our faces. Bet they're regretting that this morning. And good luck with a 25% tariff when we're your number one trading partner. Mm-hmm. We buy almost 20% of what they export, or we did. Now it's got a 25% tariff on it. Trump says it'll go to 50 if they don't capitulate and stop buying Russian oil. And whose oil does he want them to buy? Ours. As he clears out the regulatory hurdles to pull it out of the ground. And folks, there is a game changer here, okay? Because he ripped up the Democrats. He ripped up the Democrats' climate change regs. Threw them out. He did this because he declared an energy emergency. Remember the thing I was, one of the probably top five things I was most afraid the Dems would do. They were getting ready in Biden's second term, or maybe her first term, to declare a climate emergency. That would allow them to seize means of production of both food and fuel. It's what communists always do. They do it every time. Look at all their regimes, authoritarian regimes. And they could do it using a lever act. New York Times was pushing it already and saying that was the game. I've been reading it to you since 2022 when they let it out of the bag. Trump takes this, goes, what a great idea, except I'm going to declare an energy emergency and do the opposite. Because you can use an energy emergency to cut through all of the regulatory red tape. That is what he is doing. He did not do that last time. This is a game changer. So on the one hand, he's using tariffs to open markets. Hey, EU, we want you to buy $1 trillion every year of our energy or else. Or hey, you know, I'll give you this great deal over here. You can agree to buy our energy and not from Russia. While he unleashes American energy, folks, you are going to see one heck of a boom. The only question is how long it takes. So India is about to have to make a really hard decision between us and Russia. Russia, by the way, only buys 7% of their stuff. So this should be easy for them. Why didn't anyone ever do this before? Why didn't anyone give a damn about us enough to do this before? Trade deal? What's a trade deal? Folks, as you're looking at 3% growth in what was supposed to be a recession and probably would have been, had it not been for the policies he's already put in place. I want to remind you one more time of the near disaster we dodged because Bobby Mack and I were in the middle of it. I talked about this a little bit last week. And this is one of the things I'm proudest of in my entire talk radio career. Bob and I did it. We decided to do it when we had Congress members from South Carolina preparing to vote for TPA, which was the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership. Absolute disaster. And the TPPA, people don't realize how bad this was going to be. It would have taken all the power Trump has right now to cut trade deals away from Congress, but also the president, and put it in the hands of a panel of unelected bureaucrats, one each from Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, Vietnam. They would set our trade. The last time I ever spoke to Trey Gowdy, he never came on the show again. He was voting for it. And he said, if we do not do this, we'll be left out of every trade deal. What it did was create a European style union ruled by unelected bureaucrats from other countries. We got one representative on that council. And he said, we'll be left behind, we'll be left out of trade deals, we'll be the end of the United States. The whole time we had this kind of power. We could just walk up to Europe and go, hey, you, yeah, you're buying $750 billion of our energy. We want no barriers to your markets. We want you to open them up for the first time since World War II. And they're like, okay, sure, whatever you want. Oh, yeah, and you're going to pay us 15% tariff to get into our markets. Just be glad you get to have access at all. Just be grateful. Oh, by the way, you're buying our semiconductors. You're going to buy all those planes and military equipment you used to make, but now we do. Yeah, you're going to buy that too. And if you don't, hey, Tariff doubles from 15 to 30%. How do you like them apples? They're like, where do we sign? We had that power the whole time. The whole time. Because this is the best market on earth. And Trey Gowdy's like, well, we'll be left behind if we don't let Brunei decide. If we don't let Singapore decide. If we don't let Mexico cut our trade deals for us. Trey Gowdy's smart in that. He's just owned by them. Lindsay was for it. Tim Scott came on this station, argued with him. He was for it too. You know who killed it? Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton was for it. He made her flip her position. That cost just a few votes. And then Bobby Mack and I, the first time we really rode the phones and said, hey, here's the text line. Here's the number you call. Here's how you find your congressmember. Tell him no, no, no. Mick Mulvaney was whipping votes for this. That's how much of a disaster this was. And we got him not only to stop whipping votes, but to flip his vote. We flipped several votes in the upstate. In South Carolina. And it between that and Trump, it was just enough. We dodged this bullet. Folks, do you understand something? This unelected board, through the TPP, but also through the TPPA, was also going to set our immigration policy. You heard that right. Wait, wait, wait. Cartel-controlled Mexico was going to set our immigration policy? Uh-huh. Peru? Yeah. Peru. Brunei. Where the hell is Brunei? I still know where Brunei is. I should look it up. I mean, I kind of know, but I don't really. Who the hell are these people? Why were they going to set our trade policy? Well, because we have to, Tara. We'll be left behind. No, they just wanted a world government on top of the U.S. to destroy its sovereignty. And I get it. I mean, Trey Gowdy came from the Bush era. So did Tim Scott. That's where all his money comes from. Same with Lindsey Graham. I mean, they don't like you. They don't like our country. I don't care what they say. You do a thing like this, you don't like our country. Look what Trump's done. Look what Trump has done. And what does the French prime minister say about this? About the EU deal? He called it a total submission of Europe to Trump. Yeah, it was. And they should be fortunate to access our markets. This is how you get from, dang, we're going to have a recession, to 3% growth. He's about to work India over. Folks, the guy cut the largest ever record trade deal with Japan 2 weeks ago and then buried that with a second record. And he was going to let Brunei, I don't even know how to say the stupid country's name. I'm sure they're nice people. Mexico? Are you kidding? Mexico? Are you kidding me? The cartels own that country. Gas. Great American stupidity. We just dodged it, folks. We just dodged it. I mean, think about it. They put Trump in prison. Try to put Trump in prison for 700 years to keep this from happening. To keep us from winning. They wanted to erase our borders, our sovereignty, destroy it all, give away our trade authority. And Trump said, nah, and he used it as a weapon. And look what it wrought. And this is just the beginning. What do you see we do with energy worldwide? It's so good. It's so good. I can't wait to see the next 3 years and 3% growth. Almost all of it in the private sector for the first time in a little over 3 years. Mostly was government before. But we fired a lot of those people at the federal level. It's all good, folks. It's only getting better. Can't wait to see how this story ends. For the Democrats, using total power, getting to the next step in their radical agenda, because it is so radical, means they need censorship. They need censorship of social media. Censorship of the culture. It's got to be fake. In other words, real things must go away by force and fake things must be put out in their place. They can't get to where they're going if they have to have a real debate. If you get to know real things, it's the most important part of our fight against them, the authoritarian regime they want to build. Folks, Trump is notching so many victories, hunting these cockroaches. There's a woman by the name... Hold on, sorry. Let me start with this. There's a woman by the name of Jan Easterly. You may not know her name, but I do, because she traumatized me with censorship on Twitter. Lost most of my following. She ran the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. It was a key hub of censorship of Americans like me, like you, during the totalitarian regime of Chairman Ho, which we call Joe Biden. Our first Chinese president. So naturally, there was censorship. Well, when we dismantled that, when we took back the government, they scattered like cockroaches from the light, going into hiding, awaiting the next Democrat authoritarian regime so they can creep back out and censor us again. Now, Jan Easterly, when she ran CISA, you know what they did? In the summer of 2020, built an algorithm for mandatory deployment on social media that would censor anybody talking about election fraud and most specifically absentee ballot fraud. Now, that was weird. Because how'd you know there'd be any controversy over the election and absentee ballot fraud or any kind of fraud in the summer of 2020? The election wasn't until the fall. Well, we now know how. She built an algorithm to stop it. Any conversation. I mean, remember, it was so bad. That algorithm was deployed not just on posts on Facebook, but in private messages. You could not private message your family, hey, I think there was absentee ballot fraud in my state. Why? Well, because there was absentee ballot fraud all over the place. And we now know the Chinese did it. They were sending, I don't, wait, we caught one tranche of them, 19,000 fake licenses made with real information stolen off of TikTok. Can't tell them, indistinguishable from the real thing, in order to commit absentee ballot fraud. Remember, the FBI knew about that crime, those crimes, and scrubbed all of it to help the Chinese steal the election. This is a developing story. We'll get more and more. Well, anyway, Jen Easterly was key to that. And so that little cockroach had buried into West Point. She's a graduate there and having no job now since we don't need government censors. She'd been offered a prestigious position there from which to brainwash the next generation in the military. Yeah, well, they just found her, dug her out, and fired her. Fantastic. Couldn't be happier. Then Donald Trump turned around and focused his sights on Brazil. The FBI has been in Brazil helping them to craft an identical censorship regime to the one Jen Easterly was running. And they've repressed half the country with it and are currently pursuing criminal charges, including against some Americans for things they've tweeted. Here, Donald Trump just slapped a 50% tariff on him, said, get rid of the censorship regime or we're done. Good luck selling into America, 50%. No more censorship. We're not doing this. Not doing this. Beautiful. But the censor, so folks, every bit, every day, we notch victory after little victory, after little victory, after little victory. But folks, there was another coin, another side of the coin of censorship. They had to completely pervert and corrupt the culture so it looked like their party culture, because only a tiny percent of people want to live with woke because it's sick and it feels dirty and wrong inherently. When you see it, it's gross. Genderless, sexless. If you are sexual at all, you're gay. That is their culture. It's weird. It's a weird, it's not a natural human culture. You can't just get a society to adopt that. They'll run. It's like an instinct, like an animal from something bad and evil. They'll run. So you got to jam it down their throat with censorship. The key to that censorship regime was the Human Rights Campaign. If you want to go deep dive on that, my Battleground America podcast does that. It was a reign of terror. It was the other side of the censorship coin. Barack Obama's deputy campaign manager, and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, partnered up with Larry Fink and Vanguard and all the big hedge funds. And if you didn't have a very high Human Rights Campaign score, they wouldn't buy your stock. They'd tank your stock. It didn't matter how good you're doing. You're screwed. So 535 companies agreed to their terms. You had to ensconce, bring into your company Obama's censors. You had to let them decide what's in your commercials. This is why people say, why would Bud Light put Dylan Mulvaney on a Bud Light can instead of Sidney Sweeney? That's why. They were afraid of being essentially defunded via their stock. Their stock would become persona non grata. They were forced to hire DEI, entire DEI departments of minders, 535 companies. Wall Street Journal's got a great story on this. You could find the link to it at the bottom of yesterday's Battleground America. Get it wherever your podcasts are. So folks, this was the censor. This is why every commercial got weird. This is why no one who looks like you or thinks like you or acts like you culturally is even in commercials anymore. You've been canceled, but the weird people are there and they're trying to sell you Jaguars. And the Jaguars are painted the trans colors of pink, light pink and baby blue. This is why all of this has to make Obama happy, to remake society in his genderless, weird, bisexual image. And when Trump won, they saw the emperor had no clothes. They weren't afraid of him anymore. They said, no, we're not doing this. They all fired their DEI departments. And we've seen this, everyone from Ford to they're just firing five. So the final rebellion was the Sydney Sweeney commercial. Have you said, folks, I'd say American Eagle must have gotten how many billions of dollars worth of free advertising off that? I mean, I put a post up on it on X. It did 1.1 million. Just a random post. I'm just like a random person. I mean, it's crazy. And nothing happened. Their stock price went up 16%, not down. Now, would it 3 years ago, this wouldn't be possible. The executives would have to resign because Obama would make them. Their stock price would tank because it would be dumped by all the hedge funds and they would have to toe the line. Not anymore. So did you see what happened? Did you see what happened? Dunkin' Donuts went down. Well, we would like to have, I don't know, $5, $10 billion of free advertising too. So guess what they did? A commercial about having good jeans featuring Gavin Casalenjo. If you haven't seen the, it's a really hot show on Netflix right now. It's The Summer I Turned Pretty. He's like a heartthrob for young people. Anyway, you probably wouldn't know him, but I do. I watch that stuff sometimes. I know, it's cheesy. So I immediately knew who he was, and he's kind of a hottie. Well, hold on, wait. They put him in a Dunkin' commercial. You want to hear it? Obama never would have allowed this 3 years ago.
Look, I didn't ask to be the king of summer. It just kind of happened. This tan? Genetics. I just got my color analysis back. Guess what? Golden summer. Literally. I can't help it. Every time I drink a Dunkin' Golden Hour Refresher, it's like the sun just finds me. So if sipping these refreshers makes me the king of summer, guilty as charged.
So he says he has great jeans. They're going to get $5 billion with the free advertising too, and it's going to help their stock. And Obama's going to sit in his mansion on Martha's Vineyard and steam because he can't force the world to look and think and act and talk just like him. Genderless, lost, un-American, unnormal, weird. It's over. And that's awesome.